I asked Matt to lead the song, The Depth of God's Love, that we just sang. And it's a beautiful song, and I thought very appropriate as I want to continue talking to us about the challenge of being a Christian. When we consider the idea of the depth of God's love, maybe for many of us, when we talk about God's love, when we talk about love, period, whether it's love for God, love for one another, or love of others, maybe we look at it as kind of, I don't know what's the right kind of word to use, but sometimes we look at it as not that big a deal. Maybe it's kind of cliche-ish. Maybe it's just a word or a concept that we talk about that really doesn't exist. I think if you have ever been loved by anyone, you would certainly say that love is real. But there are lots of people that have never, ever realized love in their life. They've never had anybody to love them. There was a song many years ago, "What the world needs now is love, love, love." And again, that might sound too simplistic. It might sound as if that can't be the answer. So today, what I would like for us to do, I'd like us to think about the challenge of being a Christian. And I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to read with me a few verses. Then I want to make a few brief comments that I hope will be beneficial and helpful to us. What the song expressed about the depth of God's love, I'm not sure we comprehend that. In fact, this scripture we're going to read is going to say that. We might say it in today's terms. I don't think we get it. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, the scripture says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And to Him," or now to Him, "who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." What I thought about doing for this lesson is just dissecting that passage. I thought that might be a little bit too much, too cumbersome for us to do that just in the short period of time that we have today. I certainly encourage each of you to look at this passage more deeply. But I want to just point out these bullet points to us. I want you to notice here that Paul is on his knees praying, and he says that God may grant us strength, verse 16, in the inner man. I'm this close. I'm this close to not watching any more news. I'm done. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's true, what's right, as far as what I'm hearing. The violence, the attitudes, it's just all over the board. And all it does is anger me. All it does is upset me. All it does is stress me. And when you find yourself watching the news and it's just filling you with this rage inside, even as a Christian, you want to punch somebody. And if I'm not mistaken, that would be wrong. I'm pretty sure that would be wrong. So what's causing me to feel that way? I think that this passage speaks to the idea that God can strengthen our inner man. And that comes, verse 17 says, through faith in Christ. That we might be able to comprehend the greatness of God's love and Christ's love for us. Now, if I was to say to you, Jesus loves you, and you would respond probably, yes, I know that, I believe that, I appreciate that. Now, what do you want to talk about next? That is the depth of most of our considerations of God's love. Jesus died for us. We thought about that a few minutes. Now let's move on. It has always irritated me that preaching has become center stage of our worship service. We spent, what would be your recollection of the time we spent thinking about Jesus? What would you say? 5 minutes max? Corey, that good? Maybe 5 minutes? Now I'm going to spend, hour and a half preaching to you this morning? Just kidding. Whatever we spend here. And I'm not taking away from the study of God's Word. Do not think that. But I'm saying, I'm not sure we comprehend what it's all about. Now, I'll throw you to another thought just for a quick moment here. When Jesus was asked, which is the two great commandments, or which is the greatest commandment, what did He say? Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Remember that? And the second is likened to it. What was it about? Love your neighbor as yourself. And the whole law was based upon that. In this text, the result of love, God's love in our lives, is to fill our lives. And He says in verse 20 that it enables us, this great power enables us to do even more than we can possibly comprehend. Now, if you are following what I'm saying, I'm greatly appreciative. But I probably have left behind most of you. Not because you don't have the education, not because you don't have an appreciation for God, but you just don't understand, I don't understand how great love affects me as a Christian. So, what we're going to talk about, the challenge of being a Christian. We've talked about courage. We've talked about growing our faith. I want to talk to you about allowing God's love to change me. God's love is what changes you. God's love is what makes you want to change. A way to relieve, to cure, to stop, to overcome stress and anxiety And I'm constantly looking to that sort of thing because my nature is a worrier. My nature is to first consider all the bad things that will happen before I consider all the good things that will happen. My nature is to look at a group of people and tell you what's wrong first. There's probably others that feel that way. Someone has suggested this. With your iPhone or your watch or something, set an alarm that goes off every hour. Goes off every hour throughout your day. And while you're working and you're stressing and you're just, you know, running ragged, crazy, just, you know, doing what you do on a daily basis, set an alarm that goes off every hour. And when that alarm goes off every hour, stop everything you're doing and just for a very brief moment, even for a minute, stop and think about how much God loves you. Now you're probably saying, now where I work, what I can't do that. And make it work. Make it work. Take a moment and reset. Think about how much He has done for you. How blessed we are. We have, and I'm saying this we very generically, we have become so fat and sassy in our luxurious life in this country that we about had a come apart because we were confined to a house, our home. When so many people in this world don't have one. And at home, that's where all my stuff is. That's where all my junk is. We got TV. We got everything that we possibly could imagine. And we gripe about that. I griped about that. Because it goes against what we got to do. Now, what do you got to do? Well, I got to go to work. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we go, 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 go. And at the end of the day, our life is so filled with everything we got to do that we never, ever stop to consider regularly God's love. Set that alarm. Go off every hour for at least a minute. Concentrate on Bible verses, a song, or a prayer, or simply the song, Jesus Loves Me, and sing that song and be reminded that God loves you. And you think, that sounds so weird. That sounds like, what good would that do? I'll tell you what good this will do. It's like taking a tranquilizer. It's like taking a medication that will help you to calm down and to recollect and think about how much you are really loved. Psalms 136 is just an example. We'll not turn and read that. But 26 times in 26 verses, the psalmist mentions God's loving kindness. Loving kindness is mentioned 182 times in the Old Testament. 126 times in the Psalms. God's loving kindness. And it's across the board, all sorts of things that God's loving kindness does for us. I'm going to look at just a few basic points this morning about what God's loving kindness does for you. Incidentally, the person that came up with this idea, they were just stressed out and they decided to set their alarm and every hour take just a moment and read a Bible verse about God's loving kindness or say a prayer about God's loving kindness and thankfulness to Him or sing a song about God's loving kindness to us. And they said that their stress level just completely disappeared. Now, I'm not a psychologist nor a psychiatrist. But I have been reading the Bible. I want to show you some things that you can read too. First of all, when you allow God's love to change you, here's something that happens. It helps you start to trust more. Because when you're out there working and going and doing and watching the news and getting all fretful, you lose your concept of who is the sovereign power of the universe. If you trust in Donald Trump to cure all of this, you're trusting the wrong person. If you're trusting Dr. Fauci or any other doctor to cure the ills of the world, you're trusting in the wrong people. God is the sovereign power of the universe. He and He alone will take care of things. Now, I wonder if you believe that. I wonder if you trust that. Let's read a quick passage. Psalms 13, verses 5 and 6. And these are just snippets of passages that the Bible, there's tons of these passages. Psalms 13, verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know what? You're stressed out in the middle of the day. While you do, you take time out, you read those two verses, and you contemplate that, you believe in that, you trust in that. That will settle your nerves and your blood pressure will go down several points. That's a fact. It's much easier to trust someone you know that loves you unconditionally. Why do you think mothers are so popular? Why are mothers so popular? Because they love you unconditionally. And you trust them. Anybody that doesn't trust their mother, they're in a bad shape. When we think about God's love, our trust in Him grows. Secondly, it drives away fear. God's love drives away our fear. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, the simple statement, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Did you know that love was that powerful? That it cast out fear? That's what John says. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Thinking about God's great love for us chases away the fear that you can't be good enough. Are you fearful? Are you frightful of the fact that you just can't go to church enough? That you just can't read the Bible enough? That's not how God wants you to live. Does He want you to go to church? Yeah. Does He want you to read your Bible? Yes. Are you to live in fear about that? What does the loving kindness of God teach you? It destroys fear. If you're a preacher, if you're a Bible class teacher, if you're an elder, if you're a deacon, or you're a family of these leaders, you can't please everybody. I don't care what you do or what you say, somebody ain't going to like it. Have you been watching the news? It doesn't matter what President Trump says, Dr. Fauci says, or who CNN or whatever. Whatever is said, they're going to announce all those who disagree. That's the emphasis. It doesn't matter what you say. The sky's blue. 44 million were surveyed and 93% said it ain't blue. And we freak out. I must be nuts to think the sky is blue. You know, when you think about God's love for you, it drives away fear. It drives away the fear of what everybody else thinks. Our love of God, we keep His commandments. God's love for us, He will bless us. He has blessed us, and He will continue to bless us. Another, He gives us contentment. Psalms 90 in verse 14. Again, just a selection among many that we could read. Psalms 90, verse 14. The text says, "O satisfy us in the morning with Thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad of all our days." Remember the word satisfied that is used in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be satisfied. You know, when you read and study the Word of God, you're taking in the spiritual nutrition for your inner man. And when you eat that, you should be satisfied. It should fulfill and give you what the desire of God's Word is all about, or the intent of God's Word is all about. And that is that it's a saving to our soul. The love of God is intended to give us contentment. When our hearts are filled with the beauty of God's love, we are satisfied. Proverbially going around looking for love. When I met Mary Lou, we got married. My look for love was satisfied. I wanted no one else. I wanted her. She satisfied me. She fulfilled me. My need was supplied. Have you ever thought about God's love that way? Love for and the desire for the world stops when God's love is accepted and you realize that it satisfies what you've been looking for. The world is missing that. Brother and sister in Christ, I'm afraid we're missing that. He draws us to worship. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 7. A beautiful passage. Psalms 5 and verse 7. "But as for me, by Thy abundant loving kindness, I will enter Thy house. And at Thy holy temple, I will bow in reverence for Thee." Have you ever stopped to consider? And maybe you've said this, maybe you've heard this, maybe you thought about this, maybe you never think about this. Do you even know why you're here today? Most Christians reply, "I go to church because it's commanded." Don't find anything wrong with that. That is a truthful statement. But if that's why you come to church alone, you're wasting your time. You say, "Well, wait a minute. It's a command of God, right?" Yes. "So I come because it's a command of God." Well, that's great. Is there anything else to it? I've used this illustration. I think it proves the point. If Mary Lou says to me, "Honey, you don't ever tell me you love me." And I say, "Well, baby, I just hang around with you and I don't leave you because, you know, we got married and God says, you know, you can't get a divorce. But I'm talking about you never say you love me." "Well, you know, I really don't have to love you. I'm just doing what I'm told to do." That's going to make for a great marriage, isn't it? Isn't that marriage going to be great? Do you know why so many Christians really act like, look like, and I've used this expression before, like you've been raised on a dill pickle when it comes to worshiping and serving God? Because you're here out of duty. You're here out of a command. And you don't even begin to comprehend the love of God for you. And that your response to that is to love Him in return. Let me ask you a question. Would you be here if God had not commanded it? Would you be here? Look at the people that are not here, not necessarily today, but on a regular basis. Look at the number of people that aren't here and they know it's a command. When are we ever going to go to the next level? Because of God's great love for me, men out there with machine guns could not keep me from worshiping God. Why? Well, because I'm supposed to go to church. No. Because He loves me. And I love Him. And I'll die for Him if necessary. No questions asked. Are you that kind of Christian? God's love really does give us the strength to fight. In Psalms 59, verse 10, the psalmist says, "My God, in His loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes." Notice verse 16 and 17. "But as for me, I shall sing of Thy strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of Thy loving kindness in the morning. For Thou hast been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to Thee. For God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness." We are protected in the very stronghold and fortress of God's great power of love. God's love gives us great courage and boldness to face our enemies. You know, there's a challenge of growing our faith, having courage, loving God, allowing God's love to change me. And I just wonder if we're still saying, "I can't do it. I can't do it." Thank you for listening this morning. I hope that what we've talked about has been encouraging to you to simply say this: do you really know how much God loves you? Do you think about that very often? What can that love do for me? You go out into one of these places where all the rioting is, and you come up to this person, one of these people that maybe is getting ready to throw a brick or just broken into one of the stores and stealing and looting. And you say to them, "Did you know that God loves you?" What good do you think that would do? I don't know. About 99.9% of us would be saying and thinking it would be useless to say that. Why? Because this person has no idea the difference between what they are stealing and what God gives them free. Brother and sister in Christ, do you know what God has given you free? Now what you going to do with it? Count it as nothing? Or look at the breadth, the height, the depth of what He has given me. I hope your world will be changed, because that's the intent. Thank you so much for listening this morning. We're going to sing a song, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And what a great connection. What's the blood of Jesus all about? Because God told Jesus to come and die. That's what it's about. Jesus followed God's command. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe? I mean, Jesus, did He not say, "I have come to do my Father's will"? Was Jesus not commanded of the Father to give His blood? If that's all you see, you do not see the most important aspect of that. It was the love of the Father that He sent Jesus. It was the love of Jesus that He was willing to do that. And who do they both really love? Us. Are you washed in that love? You need to be. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?